Reformed Church.
Because I was just going to continue what we were talking about last Sunday about laying hold on the perfection and stuff that Jesus has provided us. And what I will say is that just to draw your attention to what Paul said in Philippians 3, it's Philippians, the reference exactly. There's like four verses in there, and it's like Philippians 3 verses 10 to, I guess more than four verses, but technically to verse 16, 10 to 16. But just want to draw your attention to the fact that last week we were talking about Paul and how he said that he wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And he says, if by any means that he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And the thing I pointed out to you was, first of all, the word if. He said if. Now, one might look at that, and when Paul says, by the way, that if he might attain to the resurrection of the dead, he's talking about attaining to Jesus' resurrection. That's why in the previous verse he had said, in the power of his resurrection. That's Jesus' resurrection. So when he says that he might attain to the resurrection of the dead, he's not talking about just raising someone up from that death, like as we're accustomed to saying, like with raising the dead, like if someone's in a coffin and you raise them up. He's not talking about that because he was already living, right? And he said he wanted to attain to the resurrection of the dead. So clearly, he's talking about Jesus' resurrection, which is not just talking about someone being raised from the dead, but someone being raised into glory, into perfection. And he was saying that he wanted to lay hold on that. He wanted to attain to that. And the really important word there is the word if. If by any means I might attain. Now, most people might look at that and say that, well, it might bother them that Paul said if he might attain, because it expresses uncertainty, right? But as I said last week, the reason why Paul says if is because it's not a sure thing that everybody walks in these things, because it's through knowledge. That's why he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, if by any means, or if indeed, in other words, if I know him, I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. We've already all been raised with Christ and given that resurrection life on the inside of us, but walking in these things in our life, as we know, is not a sure thing. It's not something that automatically happens just because you're a believer and you have these things. You need to know him and the power of his resurrection if by those means you can attain, meaning outwardly, physically, to Jesus' resurrection from the dead, right? Into that glory and that perfection. And you know he's talking about Jesus' resurrection into glory and his glorified body and Jesus' perfection, because he goes on to say, I don't count myself to have apprehended, or that he was already perfect. So you know he's talking about apprehending perfection and all the glory that Jesus was raised in. But again, going back to that word if, it's an important word because, again, one may look at that and not really like the word if, because it does express uncertainty in the sense that it's not just automatic. Because again, it is through knowledge. So therefore, he says that I may know if I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. If I know Jesus, then I'll attain. But the reason why the word if is so important to express that context is because it shows you that he's not talking about the second coming of Christ. Because the second coming of Christ, at the second coming of Christ, the Bible says we will all be changed. That's a certainty. You won't have to read the Bible. You won't have to go to church on that day to get to know Jesus in full. It will just happen. You'll be downloaded with all that knowledge automatically just by Jesus coming and with a shout. You know, the dead that are in Christ will be raised and all this stuff will happen. And so that word if is such a powerful word if, because by expressing this, I say uncertainty, maybe that's not the best word, but by expressing this, the fact that it's not an automatic thing, by saying the word if, is one proof in that chapter that he's not talking about the resurrection, because there is no if in the resurrection. When Jesus comes back, everybody will be raised. Everybody, the dead in Christ will be raised. Everybody will be glorified. Everybody will have attained to Jesus' resurrection, you know, as he is, so are we in this world now, but as he is, we will be that way bodily in the resurrection. So it's super important to actually see that word if in that passage, and the fact that he's saying that I may know Jesus if I might attain, because he's saying that right now, that's what he was doing. He said, this one thing I do. Not that he will do in the future, but this one thing he does. He does this, and what's that? He was forgetting the things that are behind. He was getting to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, if he might attain to that resurrection from the dead and lay hold and apprehend these things for which Christ first apprehended him. In other words, the reason why God first got a hold of you was for you to get a hold of his resurrection. That's so, so powerful. The reason why God first, there's a purpose for which God got a hold of you, which is awesome that he pursued you to get a hold of you, right? That's awesome. It's like when you're calling someone constantly and they're not answering their phone and you keep calling and calling and calling and finally they answer, like, oh, I finally got a hold of them. The Lord finally got a hold of you and he was trying to get through to you for many years in your life. All of his elect, that's true of all of us, that God had chosen us because he foreknew that we would believe him. That's the only reason why we're called elect, because he foreknew that we would believe him. He finally got a hold of you, and Paul is saying that he wanted to apprehend everything for which Christ first apprehended him. God got a hold of us for a reason. He didn't just get a hold of us to just sit with us in our problems. The purpose for which Philippians 3 says that Christ first apprehended us was so that we would apprehend his resurrection. And what does that mean? Perfection. He says that. I don't count myself to have already apprehended or to have already attained, neither to that he was already perfect. And that word perfect means perfect, especially considering the context is Jesus' resurrection and his glorification. Again, Jesus' resurrection, he wasn't just merely raised like Lazarus was. Lazarus was raised, he did receive a certain degree of life, but Lazarus was still corruptible when he was raised. Okay, when Jesus was raised, he was raised incorruptible. That's super important. And that's why it's important to know that it says that Paul was getting to know the power of his resurrection, not Lazarus' resurrection, right? So this is not limited to just raising someone from the dead and they still have a corruptible body, but at least they're not, you know, fully dead anymore. This is talking about Jesus' resurrection, his perfection, his glory, and it's saying God wants us to lay hold on that. I'll leave you with one more verse and I'll stop right here, and that is that the parallel to one of the parallels to Philippians 3 is Hebrews chapter 6. And in short, and there's so much to explain here, but it talks about that which is beyond the veil, where Jesus went for us as a forerunner. That's talking about heaven, and that's talking about Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Beyond the veil is a term for heaven, all right? And you can read that in Hebrews 9, and I looked it up before. I believe it's verse 24, that defines the holiest, or that place beyond the veil, as heaven itself. So with all that said, Hebrews chapter 6 is the parallel to Philippians 3. And Hebrews chapter 6 said that we have strong consolation from God to lay hold on that hope that is set before us that goes beyond the veil. And that's actually talking about, if I had time to explain it, that's actually talking about Jesus' resurrection and where he went after he was raised and how he ascended to heaven. And it's that we have strong consolation from God to lay hold on this. That means you're being strongly encouraged by God, strongly comforted by God, strongly pressed by God to lay hold on these things. And why would God strongly encourage you to do this? Because that's why he first apprehended you. That's just so you know, this ties into something I was all saying recently, but that we do want to know your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is not a career. Your purpose, I'm not saying don't have a career. I'm just saying that's not your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is not to be a pastor or a teacher, because that will be dissolved very soon when Jesus comes back. Your purpose in life is to be conformed to the image of his son. Why did God first apprehend you? He first apprehended you so that you would apprehend his resurrection. That's the purpose of God for you. You can do that anywhere. You can do that whether you're a pastor or a teacher or you're a nursery worker. You can do that whether you're at home or whether you're at church. You can do that at any point in time. That's the purpose that God has called you to. So many people are looking for God's purpose for their life, and they're wondering, saying, God, you know, what's my purpose? You know, what do you have for me in my life? I could explain this longer, but it's wrong to ask God that question if you're thinking about a career or even a ministry job. That ministry job, even when God makes you a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, that can change in just minutes. That's subject to fluctuation. There's not one task that God is ever going to call you to, that's my lifelong purpose, to be a pastor, to be a teacher, to be an evangelist. That can change. God can call you to be an evangelist one day and then call you to be a pastor another day. He can call you to be on stage doing something and then call you to be a nursery worker the next day. I used to be a youth pastor. And then God I knew that God was had something else for me, and I just sat in the sanctuary. I didn't know exactly what God was calling me to do, so I was just a sound man after that. I didn't lose my purpose, because my purpose is not to be a youth pastor. Now, that may be something I do with the image of Jesus, but that's just a platform with which to use the image of Jesus. It's the image of Jesus that is our purpose. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You want to know your destiny, your predestiny? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we're striving for by faith. That's what we're reaching forward for. That's what we're forgetting everything that's behind us to reach forward and lay hold of, is the image of Jesus. That's your purpose. That will never change. God will give you many different platforms, nursery worker, sound man, teacher, pastor. He'll give you a lot of different platforms, evangelist, with which to use the image you're being conformed into and to express Jesus in those areas, but that's just a platform. He can change your platform a million times in this life, but he'll never change the image that you're being conformed into. That's your purpose. You want to know God's purpose for you? That this is not a play on words. That's really your purpose. There really is no other purpose that God, or destiny that the Bible says that God has for you, except to be conformed to the image of his son on the outside and to lay hold on the things of his resurrection. So,
we hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.